friend energy.
My name is Sophie and this is my friend Samwise, and we've written a bunch of notes in our phones that we were going to discuss with each other.
Hey everyone, thanks for having us.
My notes are stupid and incomprehensible. The first thing literally written in my notes thing is the health benefits of using cum, not necessarily mine, anyone's cum, on their skin as a topical ointment.
Yes, it does.
Or dare I say, unguent. I dare not.
I don't dare you I'd like to distance myself
from my use of the word unguent.
Nobody dares you to say
or
that.
Perhaps a poultice.
Stop.
Stop coming up with synonyms.
Stop coming up with. I was merely pointing out that the supposed health benefits of cum being applied as like a facial moisturizer were anecdotal. There was no scientific evidence to prove that it would in fact benefit your skin texture, complexion.
We suggested that you had Googled that previous.
It wasn't suggested. We sat next to each other and Googled
it together. And yeah, Sophie was right. There's not a lot of...
No, very few studies conducted.
Well, that's my issue with it, is that I don't think enough people are doing the research, which is probably a good thing, about how beneficial cum. But the reason people think it is because cum contains a thing in it that's anti-inflammatory.
No, it doesn't.
It contains... Okay. Sorry. Sperm has a thing in it that's anti-inflammatory. It doesn't necessarily mean that it works.
Okay, children, Auntie Sophie's going to interject.
Why are we saying children now? Just because we were drinking children's booze. Yes.
Auntie Sophie just wants to let you know that men will tell you literally anything so that they can cum on your face. They will tell you that cum has anti-inflammatory properties.
They'll say they think you're
great.
They
will tell
you. They'll say you cook an amazing curry.
That it's hydrating. They will. You know what? Men lie because they want to cum on your face.
They'll say put a towel down. They'll say anything.
Here are the facts. Anecdotally.
It's cum is delicious. Anecdotally. I really derailed that. I'm sorry. Would you like to carry on?
I will carry on. We're going to move past that.
Because I think it's a positive message, what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's also...
I'm just trying to, like, prevent, people getting cum on their face when they're not really into it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And see, I am sort of into it, which is why I'm just bringing in like a queer devil's advocate.
And here's the thing is, you know, like it's 2024. Oh my God. And we don't kink shame. Like if you love cum, power to you. For me, cum is like lava.
I'm sorry. That's very extreme. Cum is like lava.
Lava.
Cum burns you.
I don't want it to touch me.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I mean, I don't want... There's lots of things. I mean, we're back to the goo that comes out of this situation, which at this point might just be in a whole different episode that I'm referencing.
Maybe.
But no, yeah.
But basically, you know what? Like, it just in certain settings, there are certain people who will tell you absolute bullshit in order to get the opportunity to cum on your beautiful, beautiful face. And unless that is something you are particularly into, Auntie Sophie is here to tell you to quote the facts.
Quote the facts at them. You're just like, actually. but yeah, I mean, look, even if you are into it, you can still be rigorous in terms of your conversations around
100%.
It. You can say, hey, look, you know what? You don't need to, like, you're bullshitting right now. If you want to come on my face, just come on my face.
Just be upfront about
it. Don't lie to me.
Don't quote false literature.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing. Like, we don't necessarily want them to conduct studies on, you know, the benefits of cum when it comes to, like, skin complexion, because like animal testing still exists in the cosmetic industry. And what are we going to do? Come on, rats.
Exactly. That's why I wrote my note, because you were saying, you're like, no one's really doing the research where they're coming on people. And we realized that, well, they'd probably be coming on rats
or putting many layers, on rats. So many layers. Who's come?
Who's come?
Who's rats?
Who's come? Who's rat? Well, yeah, unfortunately, rats and scientists, they're just the scientists' rats. But who's come is a genuinely good question.
Come forward for this clinical trial where your cum will be used.
You would put on rats.
I don't support animal testing in the cosmetic industry.
No, what's interesting, I think about this a lot. I'm very dissonant about it. If you don't have that, you're just doing it on humans, which a lot of people would say is less ethical.
I would prefer that.
But I'd kind of prefer that too. If you just sign a thing and you get paid out the ass, you get paid really well. It's like, yeah, you just come whatever you want on me, burn my face.
Like, why would you have to be paid well? You don't require any skills.
Because you're going to be horribly injured. It's like the people that like...
What do you mean you're horribly injured by some cum? Well,
potentially. The cum experiment's fairly innocuous unless you have an allergy. But there are people that are like testing new medicines. An
allergy to a substance that the body creates.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. Cum allergies are a thing.
Cum allergies are a thing.
You know, you just compared cum to lava and you don't know cum allergies are a thing. To some people, it is like lava.
Okay. Children, listen to your Auntie Sophie. If they want to come on your face and you don't want them to come on your face, tell them you have a cum allergy.
Or do a spot test at the very least. Do you know what I mean?
You don't have to do a spot test if you don't want to. If you're enthusiastic consent.
Well, that's a good point, though. If you like cum, but you've never been cummed on, right, you should do a spot test. I think that's a good thing. Have a little bit of cum somewhere on your body and then test whether it's an irritant.
It's like, I didn't realize it's going to become like so cum saturated. Yeah, I think this is going to be difficult to listen to.
This particular part of the conversation has become very cum centric, I will say. Yeah. But this is relevant what we're saying, right? If you like cum and then you've done a spot test and it is an irritant, right? I don't want to completely dissuade you from that thing. I think maybe you just need some sort of combination of cum and antihistamine at the same time. Like, we want to be inclusive to everyone. You know what I mean?
So you would have to take the antihistamine orally, or you'd have to crush it and mix it with the cum?
Multigold. A suppository full of antihistamines and cum.
That expands
inside your ass.
Multigold.
Basically, multigold is a series of products.
To block the particles.
That expand in your ass. Some of them are health-based. Some of them are just...
None of this is health-based.
None of this is health-based. Well, it's we're talking about health.
Are we?
I mean, we're talking about cum, really. Jesus. Yeah, we said cum so many times.
So many times. It was like 90 times.
So in your experience of doing this sort of content, mm-hmm. is that younger people listen to this. Mm-hmm. And you want to protect them from... You know, negative cum merchants.
Well, look, children are stupid. I myself was a child once and I was also stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you just need like a bit of a fairy godmother.
Yeah, it's nice, a little fairy godmother for cum.
To warn you against the perils of cum.
Perils of cum is a great name for something. I don't know what.
A book.
And a book. The perils of cum.
The perils of cum. Your guy.
It sounds like it's against anti like parenting. The perils of cum. Actually, it just sounds like a euphemism for
the perils
children.
Of cum. Your guide to maintaining a close relationship with your children as they sexually discover themselves.
Hello, old family friend. I just want to wish a happy birthday to your perils of cum. Like, you're talking about my 5-year-old child? You're like, yes.
Got my peril of cum in the backseat.
Perilous cum.
Peril of cum won't shut up today. I think it's teething.
Okay. So should we move to other things in the list?
Absolutely. One more take of that because I just like in the mic. Absolutely.
This is great. I'm just gonna keep all that in. You try to cut.
I did tell you that I quite enjoyed including people on production aspects. because I think it's fun to listen to.
I just like, yeah, just general like trash. But yeah, a lot of the time it's funny if you're like, can we take that again? You're like, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing on my list was scientists putting cum on rats. What's the first thing in your list, Sophie? I think you're great, by the way.
Shut
the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. It's like a little journal entry in my note.
Yeah.
And the entry on this particular day that I have not timestamped at all, I was like, I feel like I'm a true advocate of the expression of gender fluidity. Until.
Okay.
A cishet man uses a filter. Like a Snapchat filter.
Right.
Like they take a selfie.
Yeah.
And they put a filter on. I'm like, that's not for you.
Wait, what kind of filter? What is that? What do you mean?
Like they want their skin tone to be smoother. I'm like, no.
What's that to do with, is that a gender fluidity thing?
Yeah. I'm like, gays, you're allowed.
Girls, oh, but just are allowed. Cis hetero man girls, just gays, trying gays. To look prettier.
Yep, you filter. Cis het man trying to look prettier.
Not allowed. Not allowed.
Go fuck yourself.
You are a Jeep. You need to behave like a chief.
Like, you're allowed to post photos of your uninteresting vehicle parked at an uninteresting beach for me to be uninterested in.
Having said that, yeah. Talking about photos.
And those really are the parameters for me not muting your story.
I mean, I weirdly sort of agree. I feel bad, though. I feel bad about that. Like, cishet men, I know, like, that they're all, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like they can't they be have
trusted.
It so rough.
They can't be trusted as a group. But also, like, at least part of the aspects of them behaving like fuckwits individually is because they are all these individualists. You know what I mean? They're all quite lonely and sad and angry.
Yeah.
And the more you...
And it's their fault.
Yeah, it is. But if they want to be pretty, that might make some of them behave less problematically. I want them to feel like they can be pretty. You know what I mean?
I just, you know, and like, it's so conflicting within me. I'm like, I want you to feel okay as a person, but I don't want to use a filter.
I just want you to do it without the filter.
I want you to just like lean on the privilege you already have. No one expects it of you. No one expects you to be pretty. So like, just, like it's not like.
Your eyes are, no one expects your balls to be washed. No, no. No one expects you to make your bed. But my thought is like breaking out, maybe prettiness help break you out of it. I don't know.
So you're saying like we can overthrow the patriarchy with the if the straight men use the filters.
Yeah, if straight men feel like they can be prettier. You know, and if they feel like they could hold each other's hands.
I would just, love to see that.
And just
that.
Kiss each other and just like.
I really want to see that. Like kissing.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. Like if you as a cis hetero man, you'd like just kiss your friend on the mouth, right? While holding their face and neck, right? If you say no homo beforehand.
I regret taking a sip of pom-pom before you started speaking.
I think you could just finish that. I regret taking a sip of pom-pom.
It's burning.
It's burning. It's burning my soul. It's
like lava.
Is there cum in this?
Light kissing.
12%. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're talking about cis hat man light kissing.
Yeah.
That's hot, isn't it? It is hot.
I wouldn't describe it as hot. I would just describe it as
it would be acceptable. Hotter if they had the filter on the pictures there.
I would just describe it as acceptable.
Just the light kissing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Their existence.
Yeah, their existence is acceptable. Tolerated even.
Tolerated with light kissing.
Sure, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I just, I have a problem with encouraging cis hetero men to kiss. I don't know why I keep doing it. It's my own problem. I know it's my issue. It's not even a cultural thing. I just keep finding myself saying, hey, you guys should kiss. It happens a lot. Two guys are just trying to have a conversation. And I just wait for a lull in the conversation to say, hey, you guys should kiss. Because one day I feel like they might just kiss. And I think that'd be nice.
I think it'd be nice too.
It would be nice. But you're okay with that, just not them using filters that make their faces pretty.
Like, the filters are for us who have been dictated to our entire lives about beauty standards. Those digital accommodations.
The ladies in the quiz.
Are for us.
Right.
Yes, we have permission to use those, according to me.
Can they use, like, rustic filters?
No, come as you are. Take a photo of your stupid motorbike near a stupid beach.
What if you want to look pretty?
And then I'm going to Google that motorbike and see its net worth, and then I'm going to determine how poor you are.
That's just... You spend a lot of time looking at these
No, not
photos.
A lot of time. It's very quick. I don't spend hours on Google rabbit holes like you do.
You spend hours on other rabbit holes. You just go straight to the website, whereas I go to Google, which steals the information from that website and puts it back on Google.
Sure.
But yeah.
All right. So I can go back to back on, like, back-to-back. That's the topic that I brought. And then the next one, which I don't feel like we're going to have a lot of chat around. It can probably just be a statement on its own.
Okay.
And it could just be said completely out of context following that conversation. I've never seen a polar bear documentary in which the polar bear has shit together.
Well, yeah, that's...
It's always starving or it can't feed its kids or some shit.
Yeah, because that's...
It's like polar bear houses.
That's where we're at with polar bears. There aren't any polar bears that have their shit together. That's the whole thing about modern polar bearness.
Climate change.
Exactly.
Anyway, what have you got?
That's it. There's nothing you... I mean, there's something in that. That could be a stand-up joke, I feel like. You could develop a whole thing about that where you're just shaming polar bears.
Can I pee?
Just, like, get it together.
Am I allowed to have two pees in a session? Yeah. I've got it for 2 hours.
You can have as many peas as you like in a session.
I put heaps of peas in your curry.
But you pissed in my curry?
You wish. Cost extra.
I wish. I cost extra.
Yeah, if you want me to pay any curry.
Should I put a towel down for when you come back? I just want to use this time by myself to thank our sponsors, Multigold. Vodka Cruiser, Pom Pom Flavors. And
Are you
Oh, you know what's good? There was a cockroach in here earlier that we named Gregor. I've fully lost sight of it now. So if you're just trying to piss and I'm just talking to the microphone. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this in so far during our like little streams of content. But Sophie has a piss kink. She has like a rampant piss kink. She's talking to me right now while pissing openly. And she's always sort of trying to say that I have a piss kink, but I just want to get ahead of that and say that I'm not the one with the piss kink. I'm not kink shaming. I love people with piss kinks. You know what I mean? I mean, case in point, I love Sophie. I think, as I've said in previous points in this stream of content that we've created collaboratively together, I think she's great and I stand by that. And if she has a piss kink, which she does, obviously, I don't have an issue with that. Hey, welcome back. Sophie's back.
Can the listeners just sort of discern for themselves who brought that up? What's the next thing on your list?
Oh, we were talking about people in Pit Town.
Were we?
In Shit Town, as you called it. And I'm saying that these people are the chicken salt of the earth, and you need to not judge them because they're thriving in this sun-like environment.
I don't judge them. I don't know any of them.
That's true. Other than that,
I so actively avoid my neighbors. I'm feeling like I'm starting to get to know the lady at the bottle shop, and I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to be super recognizable.
Well, this isn't
the... But she's bloody friendly. So chatty.
She's the one that talked to me about the vodka cruiser law.
Yeah,
that
talked you into this. And so when we're like blind headaching in the morning...
I already have a headache. It's not your fault. It's the pom-pom. Not to suggest that
you're just like reaching for me.
I was just reaching for you. Yeah, just a little touch. non-problematically. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Stop it.
This is not the next thing on my list, but related to this, I would say. Non-baby items in strollers, which are acceptable. You know what I mean?
Oh, so somebody is walking a dog in a stroller.
Because out of context, like you are on a hot girl walk and you are a hot girl on a walk.
People expect to see a small child.
But that's the thing. You properly look insane. And I love that. I think that's great.
I feel like such a hun. I love it.
The look on your face while you were fixing your accessories to it, you were genuinely delighted.
Well, I kind of got to feel like other women my age very temporarily. Surface level as well. So like the without hell of bearing children, yeah. There's some accessories. Yeah. Yeah. You get stuff.
You get stuff.
You can get a pram and you can put stuff on
it. I see.
And then you can pack the pram.
It was like 30-something degrees today with shit high humidity. And I walked past. I walked past three different women in strollers, with strollers. And I was kind of looking at their strollers to see if they had cup holders, so that I could ask them where they got them. None of them had them, and every single one of them looked absolutely ratchet. They looked not at all happy.
Yeah, because they didn't have coffee or a cup holder for their coffee.
But my thought is that it's not necessarily worth. From the
experience of childbearing.
Exactly, it's not worth the accessories. If you have to walk around in this sort of humidity.
Okay. And so what you were wondering is, like, as you approached these prams, you were wondering what contents you were going to see within.
If you're going to just look at strangers, you want to limit and think about how you're doing that. Because it's like, if I'm just looking at people's kids, like, I'm weird enough that you could be like, the spectrum of, oh, that could just be a normal guy, or is he going to try to eat one of my children? Like, that's the spectrum.
Yeah, you do have a bit of, like, eat children vibes.
Eat children vibes.
But you know how, like, you sort of rock up on a stroller and then you're sort of expected to extend some sort of praise, generally, for the contents of the stroller?
The contents of the stroller.
You're like, oh children. My god, they're so gorgeous. So not centering gender.
Yeah. But not centering gender in a way that's reasonably upsetting, because it's not like you're like they or them. You get a lot of it's from Sophie when describing children.
Okay. But yeah, look.
It has festered inside me.
It is gender neutral.
It is.
And the thing is, when you roll up on a pram, the very proud parent is expecting praise, and it looks like...
It being the contents of the stroller.
Shit, I didn't even realize I did it then. And I'm going to do it more deliberately now. But like when it looks like a knee. And social convention states that I have to tell the bearer of the knee.
First of all,
it's gorgeous. Oh, like, congratulations. I'm like, for what?
For what? You made a little knee. I don't think a knee dressed in little boots and stuff is inherently not cute. Like, you put a little dress on a knee. We normal-sized humans, we wear dresses.
We destigmatized knees.
We did, like little knee folk. Yeah, I mean, bless them. You're right. I know. I've
so
taken
you,
this
so
off.
So you glance down into the stroller. Yeah, and you see a knee.
See a knee.
But like if you glance down, what would happen if there wasn't?
Oh, that's why we originally brought this up.
Yeah, what would happen if you glance down into the stroller?
It's just
and
like
it's
an
like...
old watermelon. Is that acceptable? Basically, was the question. Because you're right on the line of it. People glance down and see a large dog.
A very large dog.
The fuck's going on there?
Yeah.
And we had to have this thing. He's got three legs. We've got that in the pocket.
And it's like if people approach me and they're like, can I give him a pat? I have to be like, no. He's a dog prince who's a huge diva. I exposed him to show business too early in his young life. And, you know, he just never really recovered.
He got to be in a calendar.
Yeah, he was in a calendar.
He met Dave Hughes. This is a real thing that happened.
And Conrad Sewell. And, oh, fuck, it was excruciating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So while I search up this.
Do you know what was weird is I thought of a watermelon, but then, like, you said an old watermelon, and then yours today was brilliant. a rotisserie chicken.
I forgot about that. That's the example.
But I didn't say mine out loud. And then I was like, oh, I can't say that. It's a food. So I was trying to think of like a non-food one that would be funny.
Well, that's great. We were just on the same watermelon-y page. Because it is a funny thing to put in Australia. It's just a watermelon. And in my head, it seems a little more unhinged to not have a fresh watermelon. Because maybe you're just tired carrying your fresh watermelon.
The watermelon's been in there for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not. You're not going to eat it. That's your watermelon. It's the only thing that you carry around. That's the narrative of having an old watermelon. But yeah, a rotisserie chicken, not in a bag either, like loose in the stroller, a full roast.
Rotisserie chicken. With like a Bluetooth speaker. Whoa. Sings to your phone on YouTube playing like barnyard noises.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Why?
Like, because you'd just be noises. Walking along and be like,
and you're like, what is that? You got a chicken in there? You're like, yeah, look. It's a rotisserie chicken.
And because there's that whole sort of thing where it's like, it's actually kind of acceptable that you would have a chicken in like a small pet stroller. Because
what? In what? Wait, what? I've never
seen
that.
Yeah, yeah. No, like people do
acceptable
that.
Is
like it's kind of like one of those like cute, weird things on the internet and people are like, oh, people how have
chicken,
funny.
Just carrying chickens.
Yeah, carrying chickens in a stroller. But then like you open the fucking lid of the stroller and it's a barbecue chicken and a Bluetooth speaker.
It's a Woolies chicken with sounds that you've added.
You could leave it in the bag. It's just a handbag chook.
So I often think, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I often think about, because women culturally often are the ones that have to carry bags around. Because I've recently started wearing women's pants because they're much more comfortable.
Oh, you lost your pocket privileges, did you, big man?
Exactly, yeah. I'm suddenly an ally because now I don't have any pockets. But it's the thing, where women always have to have bags because none of their fucking clothes have pockets for some reason. You always have these bags. There's something really interesting about the idea of fitting a whole rotisserie chicken in your bag so that you could just have chicken everywhere you go. You just like...
Just like pick bits off.
Yeah, yeah. You just reach in and you just pick off little bits of chicken.
Get little fingies in there and get a bit greasy.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds great.
Don't whisper that. Like, yeah.
You just pick the chicken. Just pick the little pieces of chicken.
Stop.
Rotisserie chicken.
Stop.
Sorry. Organic chickens. 100% organic. Fresh. Why are you giving me a weird look because I'm touching your knee?
No. Oh. Yeah, my knee.
What about your little feet?
Don't touch my feet.
I crack your toes.
Yeah, if you swing the mic over.
Oh, shit. Hang on.
Yeah, have mine.
Have a
bit. I can't believe that actually happened.
Did you not know that could happen?
No! Oh, you're about to do it again. You're fucked.
No, no, no. You can't do it all. No. I won't do it anymore.
My heart rate went up.
Sorry, love. I didn't know you didn't know that could happen.
I genuinely didn't know that could happen.
I'm a cracky boy. I crack everything. Those are my wrists.
It's disgusting. Oh. He does this like little marionette routine. It's just like Pinocchio on the strings like flopping about, but it's all cracking. One? Oh, no. So that was like his head and neck. Oh, God, it's fucked.
One day that I'm just going to die from doing that.
Yeah, you will literally tip your head to the side and then collapse in a heap on the ground. Please don't, I don't really want to deal with that in terms of, like, an emergency situation.
Oh, I want to put this on record. A lot of people I know already know this already, but if anyone out there is sadistic or at least opportunistic enough to attempt this, basically when I die, it's my interest that my body be stolen and then taken out into remote forestry and laid out on a mossy rock. That's how I want it. That's how I want my body to be.
Just out in the open and there'll be like flies.
Yeah, but I want some of it to be, to become part of the moss.
Okay, so there's like a dead sheep out at the farm at the moment and they puff up, they fill up with gas and then they pop. that's basically what, like, yeah. that's what your aspirations are. It's highly disgusting.
As opposed to being incinerated, yeah.
Okay, what do you mean as opposed to, like, bloat? You bloat and then you decay.
Or buried in a box.
And then you pop. And rather than just being like some nice, like just ashy boy.
Like that's like neat little ashy boy that we can just put in a bag.
Put in a little box.
And put on a little shelf.
We did cover this in a previous episode of like a previous pod, but a girl put her dead boyfriend's ashes in the butt plug.
Now, this is it's so funny that you brought this up. So Sophie's done previously did a little podcast with a friend of hers.
Whoever.
And one of the things that they brought up was that story that you just said. And the reason why I already wanted to bring that up is because I felt that your reaction, because you recorded this before I knew you, and your reaction to that whole story was so you in layers. It's a perfect characterization of you in general. So Sophie's friend brought up this story that, yeah, a guy died and then the woman put his ashes in a butt plug.
Yeah, encased the ashes in a butt plug.
Now, when Sophie was told this story for the first time, the beginning of the story was, so this woman, her husband died, and Sophie's first reaction was, at the word, her husband died. That she found that legitimately funny without knowing any other part of the story, right? And then when she learned that, what she'd done is she put his ashes in a butt plug and then had inscribed on it forever so that she could shove his ashes up her ass. Genuine, your reaction was, that is lovely. And like the thing, and this is you in a nutshell, just like the savage, compassionate, fucking absolute beautiful head case that you are. You're like, ha, her husband died. That's funny. And then it's like, she put his ashes in a butt plug.
It's said forever. Honestly, that's the only way that you can like really keep a man loyal is him being dead and putting his ashes in your ass. Butt plug.
He doesn't need to be dead. If you're able to keep him in your ass.
24/7.
I mean, yeah. And I was thinking about this afterwards. I'm like, I'd be happy for that. If you're able to, yeah, keep me in your ass after I'm dead.
I mean, multi-gold.
Multi-gold. Put your dead loved ones in your ass with multi-gold. Dry the drips of your grieving tears with multi-gold.
Okay.
You know what's good? We're going to cut all these into different episodes. And in every one of them, we're going to reference multi-gold as this like surreal product.
Multi-gold.
If you got like, say, like an empty gelatin capsule, and you filled it with the ashes of your dead loved one. Like, charcoal would generally be fairly absorbent.
Yeah, but it'd be like, it'd melt a bit.
Yeah, and, so then, and then you'd have additional drippage.
No, and but you're just going to have them in your ass.
It would be black. The residue would be black if they dripped. Jesus!
Why are you focusing on that point? You're like, the residue would be black. I just want to say that as I'm moving forward, it'd be charcoal black.
No, but like the whole point of that story was like this girl went and got a new boyfriend and then, you know, put the butt plug with the dead guy in her ass. Then I'm like, is that a threesome?
Sure, I mean, in a sense.
And, yeah, and then therefore, like, would the dead guy
it's
be
definitely hot?
Would the dead guy be cool with it?
What? Well, okay, this is interesting.
Ethics.
you can't just say the word.
I can do whatever the fuck I want, Sam.
But we have invented an ambiguous product or dystopian conglomerate called Multigold.
Multigold.
We have, yeah.
That has a myriad of products.
It's conceptually opaque.
This part of
as are we
as are we, brought to you by Multigold.
Can you imagine if like the internet crashed with people googling Multigold because they wanted to dry up their drippy asses that they heard about on a podcast? podcast and the product was entirely made up and we just like broke the news. Can you imagine like a Tracy Grimshaw-esque current affairs story where they're just like, these two fraudsters made up a product?
No.
And we were literally just like two boot goofing.
Two boot goofing?
Yeah, you got two boots on and you goofing.
Did you make that up? Never heard that before.
No, it's from Reno 911.
Oh, what is that? That sounds familiar.
It's a, it's like the original Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's like the Trailer Park Boys version of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, you watch Trailer Park Boys?
My 18th was Trailer Park Boys themed.
Oh, shit. First time, one of the first times I hung out with Sophie, just the two of us, we were just spending a weird amount of time looking at each other's faces and I was trying to interpret her face. And I said, you have a weird look on your face. And you went, that'd be the tism. And I went, which tism? Autism? Like, I didn't know what other tism? There's no other tism. The band tism? Could have been the magnetism.
Could have been the magnetism.
It was a little magnetic. I think you're great, by the way. You just, yeah, look, you're a little... Just clicked it. Let's do that again with both of them. That peaks. We're going to come up with a name for this podcast. I have a very ancient list of band names that a beautiful collaborator of mine. Sorry.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. I'm going to say because we always call him. His name is. But I'm happy to just dox him fully because he's just like beloved by everyone that knows him. And you know what's real funny about that?
I met very early in the piece.
You did, because John came to a gig that you also came to.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a gig in King's Cross, and you guys both came to watch me, which was very cute.
I was already there.
You
put the actual effort in.
You mean you're already there? Like, you were like already...
I was in the city.
Okay, right. Well, he sort of lives in the city. Let's just fully... He lives at 123. No. But no, yeah, so John and I have, we're both musical collaborators and we've, for years we've been working on this band name list in a Google Drive that is hundreds of band names long. And the quality of these band names vary wildly. Like, you've got really great stuff in here, like...
You've got some 12s and you've got some, like, minus 8s.
You've got some 12s and you've got some minus 8s. You've got some good shit like Fast Forward Selector or International Fuck Sluts.
Yeah, because they're the 12s.
They're the Then you've got Offshore Wind Farms. Or Socks Aren't Vegetables. You know what I mean? It's not all great. But one of these, I feel, could be the name...
Could be a little something in there.
...of whatever this is.
Just a zany duo. I remember
Glutton Buddies was one that you did not vetoed. Like. You vetoed that hard.
Yeah.
The people thing.
No.
Yeah, that's no good.
Veto.
You're just gonna veto all of this shit.
I'll do as I please.
Empty Sessions.
Veto. Okay.
Well, no, you can just say no. You don't need a veto.
All right. No.
No. Sophie says no. Also, potentially the name of what we're doing. International Foxlets could be one.
Yeah, that tracks kind of a little bit.
Queensland Reading Glasses? No.
Well, okay, I wasn't going to say it because you're going to like make fun of the way I say no, but no.
I mean, we have to, yeah, I mean, the issue is like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean?
Just spreading joy.
Keep Cup Seminar?
I remember liking that.
This is one I quite enjoy. Peak Scattergories Age.
Oh my god, that's like deeply triggering.
Do you think about Scattergories?
I used to play it with like my nan and pop, who kind of disowned me.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we're not getting into it.
Sophie does this thing a lot. They're three like... we bounce off each other like a funny little like a laser between sunglasses, because I will just say something like, "Hey, what's this about?" And Sophie will be like, "Ah, trauma." And I'll create a space where Sophie can just talk about it and accidentally just make her unzip herself and talk about whatever her thing is. When we were just trying to eat chips.
So. What else you got?
I mean, so does that mean, just quickly, does that mean you're never going to want to play Scattergoods with me? Because I like Scattergoods. Okay, another name here, we've got Mug Budget.
No.
Oh, Bespoke as Fuck.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's good. Is it? That's got a bracket with someone else's name. So sometimes
John so and I... So I just insulted somebody.
So you did. A lovely person too. John and I...
What's their name?
Their name's Shane.
Hey, Shane, I hate that.
Hey, this is an interesting one. Attributes in a vacuum. Yeah, well, if Sophie... her silence is not necessarily conveying the disdain all over her face. But it's very all over her face.
Like, my eyes couldn't even be fucked to roll then.
Well, this is the problem with band names. You don't know, like, it's very subjective.
Yeah.
Kestrel Time. Hmm. That sounds like something.
I don't think it really...
Plant-based trauma.
There you go.
There you go. See, this is what I mean. No one knows it.
That's a little something.
Get Lips.
What kind of lips?
I don't know. It just says get lips. What I like is, I've said this before, sometimes John and I will go on a word, like a wordplay tangent in the list. You can tell that one of us was in a weird mood because it started, there's one here just called Keyboard Warriors, which is pretty standard. But mm-hmm. under that, it says Keyboard Oreos. Then it says Killed by Oreos. Then it says Cold Bath Ominous. Then it says Mescaline Vamanos.
I like those better than I liked whatever Shane said.
Oh, this is one we had before. Mum's Friend Energy.
I did like that one.
This is from someone named Jack, who I believe is comedian Jack McCauley.
Interesting. I do like that one very much.
Mum's Friend Energy.
Mum's Friend Energy.
So this could be one. Welcome we were to talking Mum's about, Friend like, Energy. I'm Sam Wise, yeah. Sophie.
Thank you for joining us today on Mum's Friend Energy.
Yeah, that does work. Oh, this is a good one. Upper cunts.
Oh, I love that. Mum's Friend Energy. Mum's Friend Energy.
Mum's Friend Energy.
What's it called again?
She's been Winnie the Poohing this whole time and she didn't even put a towel down.
Because I'm not a drippy boy.
Because she's not a drippy boy, but I put a towel down because, you know, I am
Because really... your ass leaks.
Never.